Today's daf is Babasra daf Kuf Beis. We are holding on daf Kuf Aleph Amid Beis, about three lines before the end of the page. Today's shir is sponsored once again, L'zecher Nishmas Mira Bas Zucher Sassman, the mother of Mindy Olinsky, by Henry and Mindy Olinsky, and we thank them very much for the sponsorship. The Neshama should have an aliyah, and also L'zechus Rufor Shalema, by an anonymous person, L'zechus Rufor Shalema from Moshe Yehuda, Ben Yehudis, and he too should have a Rufor Shalema through the Zechus of our learning. So we are holding now three lines from the bottom of the page on Kuf, Aleph, and Beis, and the Gemara is going to discuss, if you find a buried body, can you move it? And not only can you move it, but what concerns do we have to be choshesh for other bodies around it? How far do we have to check to see if there are other bodies around it? And those two issues are going to relate to each other, because if this body was thrown here randomly, then we're going to be allowed to move it. But if it's part of a Beis HaKvaros of some sort, then we're not going to be able to move it. Then the Gemara is going to quote a third potential shita in terms of the size of the ma'ara. We had two shitos we already learned, whether a ma'ara is 4 by 6 amos or it's 6 by 8 amos. So we're going to have a third shita that it's 4 by 8 amos, and we're going to discuss what to assume when we find several mesim that are mamish right next to each other, that don't even have the proper spacing. Do we assume that that's a normal kvaros, or that's just something that was makeshift and was meant to be removed soon after? The Gemara is going to have two explanations of why it is that we're going to say to measure, to be bodek near the found body, 20 amos. Where do we get the number 20 amos? We're going to try to plug it into the different shitos of how large a ma'ara is and see if 20 amos makes sense. It's not going to seem like it makes sense. Then the Gemara is going to say, we have another machlokas that seems to be very similar. When you plant vines next to each other, so normally you try to keep them 4 amos apart from each other in order to give them room to grow, in order to give you room to work the land in between. What if you find you have vines that are planted mamish right next to each other? Is that considered a kerem for the halachos of Kilei HaKerem, or is that just considered a bunch of vines, which would have different halachos than a kerem? That too is a machlokas, but that machlokas seems to be a direct stira in terms of who holds what to the machlokas about kvaros that are found right next to each other. And then if we get to it, we'll begin from the next parak, which begins with a mishnah about a mocher saying that he's going to sell a base quart of land. So we want to know, how do we measure ditches in the ground, rocky areas? Does that count toward the base core? Is that excluded? And how to deal with such parts of the land? So let's begin. Kuf Aleph Amid Beis. We are at Tanan Hasam. So we have a mishnah. The halach is that a mace, generally speaking, is kona es mekoma, which means, generally speaking, you're not allowed to move a mace from his kever, but that's only if he's in his designated kever and it's and he's supposed to be there. But if someone is buried in a place without the permission of the Bala Karka, or someone is buried in a place that's not really miyuchad the kvura because it was a shasat chak and they just had to get him buried or something like that, then you're allowed to move the body. So the Gemara is going to bring a mishnah now that talks about, you find in a field or an old kever, and you don't know, you didn't know about it until now, it's a new find, and the question is this makom a beis hakvaros, or was this something that was just, he was buried here, bakrai, and they just never got back to taking him out? So the question is, can you remove him or not? So says the Mishnah. Tanasim, the Mishnah says in the 16th parak of Ahalos, Hamotze mace, a person finds a mace in the ground and we didn't know about it previously, Mushkav Kedarko, but he seems to be buried in the normal way that people are buried, meaning he's buried in the normal way that Jews are buried. The Gemara in Maseches Nazir derives from Mushkav Prat Liyoshev. Mushkav means he's buried lying down, he's not buried sitting. Kedarko means Prat Lisharosho Munach Lo Ben Yerchosav. It's Kedarko and his head is not between his knees. According to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanino, who said previously that you could bury Mesim Ba'amida, Mushkav is only being Mema'it Yoshev, not being Mema'it Omeid. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, that's Kvuras Chamor to bury Ba'amida, so Mushkav would be not only Mema'it Yoshev, it would also be Mema'it Omed. So the Yerushalmi says, Ezu Mushkov Kedarko, Raglav Mufshatos V'yadav Alibo. That the way Jews bury is that his legs are straight and his hands are over his heart. That's Mushkov Kedarko. Meaning it's obvious from the way we found him buried that this is the way a Jew is buried. So that's why we believe that this is a Jewish body. Notlo V'yest Fusaso. So you're allowed to remove the mace, but you take together with him some of the dirt in his immediate area, because since people didn't know that this is a Beis HaKvaros, we could assume it wasn't a Beis HaKvaros, that it's not Miyucha L'Kvura, and it was just happenstance that they happened to bury this guy here. Shnayim Notlan V'estfusasan. And similarly, if you find two Mesim, you could take them and you could take the Tfusa, you could take the area around it. Before we get to what happens if you find three people, just a couple of points. The Rashbam writes, if you want to make taharos over there, mifanehu, if you're interested in being osik pitaros, so that's why you need to get rid of this body. Because lo kana makomo, the body has no right to that spot. But it sounds like it's an option, meaning if you're interested in doing taharos, then you're permitted to move the body. Not that you're obligated to. The Ar Zarua, however, is quoted by the Beis Yosef in Siman Shin Samach, Shin Samach Gimel, and he holds that it's because of a tsar and a bizayon to the mace, and it's a mitzvah lefanoso. Because of the tsar and the bizayon, you have a mitzvah to get rid of him. And that mitzvah is an absolute chova. So it's a mitzvah to move the body, which itself is an interesting discussion about this issue of whether it's a mitzvah to move him, and we'll discuss it further as we get further. When exactly are you supposed to move him, and why exactly? And why exactly is one not supposed to move a mace from a regular kever? What's the problem with moving a mace from a regular kever? So Beis Hashem, we'll get to that. Now, the idea of moving the area around him as well, tfusaso, so that's the Rashbam says, the dirt that's right underneath him. The Rambam in Pirush HaMishnah says, Ma'asef im ha'meis ha'ofer ha'lach shelo, the moist dirt that's near him, because the lachus is the decomposed, as the body decomposes, so a lot of it ends up in the moist karka that's near him. So the Gemara Maseches Nazir, Daf Samachay, says, how much dirt? So he says, aside from the Gemara Nazir says, aside from the soft dirt that's right underneath him, we dig down another shalosh etzba'os in the karka, because that's how much we assume the mohal sheyatzam in a mace, whatever bodily fluids, whatever there is that comes out of the mace, we assume gets absorbed in the ground. The Rashbam says that the shir is shlosha tfachim. The Bach wonders that the shir in the Brisa, it's mefurish in the Brisa. Rashbam shouldn't be making up shiurim. It's mefurish in the Brisa that it's shlosha tfachim. So not so clear why he would say shlosha tfachim. The makar of this din is the Gemara Nazir says is from Yaakov Avinu. He says to Yosef before he dies, v'shachafti yemavosai v'nasasani mi mitzrayim ukvartani bikvurasam. So the word mi mitzrayim, that you should take mi mitzrayim, is a remez that take with me from the land of Mitzrayim as well. So Rabbeinu Yeshaya is quoted in the Moshe of Zakenim on Al HaTorah that Yaakov Avinu was never buried in Mitzrayim. So how could we learn the din of Tfitzas HaKever from Yaakov Avinu? Because he says the words Mi Mitzrayim. So he quotes in the name of Rabbeinu Chaim that Yaakov Avinu was not Nikbar Mitzrayim. He said to Yosef, Al Natikbareini B'Mitzrayim, because when you take me, and you're going to have to take the bones of all the other Shvatim, and you're going to have to take me as well, if you were to bury me here, you'd have to take a Tfusa Sakever as well, and that would be a big Tircha. But if you take me right now, then you won't have to take a Tfusa Sakever. Meaning he was saying that it would be, if you were to leave me here for now, for the next couple of centuries, so it would be that you would need a Tfusa Sakever, so take me now without the Tfusa Sakever. Tos Yantif says different. He answers based on the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayis that the whole thing's not a but it's an asmachta, so in a chinami, it doesn't apply to Yaakov Avinu. It's an asmachta. The so that's the discussion in the Gemara in Maseches Nazir. Okay, so the one more quick point over here is that there is a discussion that Rishonim discuss. What is the Tana coming to be Memait when he says Hamotze? Why is the Tafka Hamotze? So Tosus quotes over here that the Gemara Nazir Samechei is the Rav Yehuda's Medayik that the Lashon Mishnah Hamotze is coming to be Memait Matsui. So the Mefarish Maseches Nazir, there is no Rashi in Nazir, there's a Mefarish. The Mefarish Maseches Nazir says that that what it means to say is as opposed to when you find Shlosha Mesim, and one of them was Yadua, and two of them you didn't know about, then there's no Shchunas Kvaros, and you take them and they're Tfusa, and you're allowed to move them because they're not Kona Mekoman. Meaning, we're going to see that once you find three of these guys, three of these Mesim, then it changes the whole status. It's, you're not allowed to move any of them. Yeah, that's when all of them were unknown. But if one of them was known, then it's not going to become a Shchunas Kvaros. Tosos questions that, why that should be the halacha exactly. So Tosos quotes from the Ri a second possibility. When the Gemara says Prat L'matzui, it means that only when you find a mace cover and you don't know if he's a Jew, only then do you need him to be Mushkav Kedarko. Do you need to see that he's buried like a Jew to make that assumption that he is a Jew? But if you know that he's a Jew, then it doesn't matter which way he's buried. If you know that he's a Jew, then you would have all these halachos regardless of whether he's buried like a Jew or not buried like a Jew. Tosus wonders, what's the chiddush? I mean, would we really have a havamina that the din of tfusas akvaros is based on how he was buried and not based on whether he's a Jew or not? I mean, if you know that the guy's a Jew, who cares how he was buried? Of course, there's a din of tfusas hakvaros. So Tosus says in the name of the Rashba, that when we say matzui, it means kisheinu yadua, we didn't know about him. Not that he's yadua, that he was buried there, and we didn't know that he was buried there l'shem kvura, may have only been momentarily. It means that yadua l'shem kvura, he's buried there, and that's why he has the din of shchunas kvaros, and you're not allowed to move him, even though he's a kever yechidi. Like the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Mem Zayin, that a kever heyadua, if you knew about a kever, and you knew that it was there on purpose, you're not allowed to move it. And if you do move it, the whole makom is asubana. It's only when it's ein yadua. And then there's the shitas harambam. The Rambam in the Perush Mishnayis in the ninth parak of Nazir says that we use losha motzei because it means that the mace is buried, and in order to find him, it required some searching. So the Mishnah is coming to say, as opposed to if you find a mace mutal al pnei asada, then there's no din of tfusa. You find just a body out in the field, then there's not going to be any din of tfusa. It's only when you had to search, it was a little bit of digging until you found the mace. Good, so all of this is if you found one mace, you find two mesim. Now the Mishnah continues, matza shlosha. Let's say you find three mesim, im yesh b'neim arba v'yad shmona. So here's why we're quoting this whole thing. If the space between them is somewhere between 4 and 8 amos, because that's the size of a ma'ara that would be mafsik between two mesim, harezu shchunas kvaros. Then you know that that's a shchunas kvaros. That's the size. A ma'ara is 4 by 8 amos. So therefore, you find the mesim apart from each other, between 4 and 8 amos apart from each other. Good. Now you have a shchunas kvaros. What do you do now that you have a shchunas kvaros? Well, first of all, you don't move these mesim. You leave them where they are. But you also have to make sure that there aren't any other mesim in the surrounding area. So ubodek mimenu la'alan esrim amma. You need to continue checking an additional 20 amos around there. And what happens if you check 20 amos around there? Matza echad b'sof esrim amma. If you find another mace anywhere within 20 amos, you now have to check again another 20 amos from that mace that you found. Sharaglayim ledavar. Meaning, even though normally if you find one mace and you don't find another one within 4 to 8 amos, you're okay. You don't have to go checking 20 amos. But over here, since you already have a shchunas kvaros, even though it's only one more mace, 19 and a half amos away, still you have to go check another 20 amos. Had you found that mace first, you would have done a quick bedik on the 4 to 8 amos, you would have found nothing, and it would have been, that's it. You would have been done. You would have been able to move that mace. But since there's we already know that there's a shchunas kvaros in the general vicinity, you have to keep on checking another 20 amos. If you would have been so lucky that you would have found that guy first, then you would have been able to move him. You would have been able to take him with the tefusa. But now we already have a raglayim ledavar. So that's the Mishnah Maseches Alos. We're going to focus on the number 4 to 8 amos. Where do we get that 4 to 8 amos doesn't match any of the shitos of the Ma'ariv? But again, before we get to that, the Rambam explains that the din of shchunas kvaros means that you're not allowed to move them, that they're kona es mekoman. The Rashbam explains that they're kona es mekoman. So why is that? Why is it that when you have a mace that was put there on purpose and it's a normal beis hakvaros, why is it that you're not allowed to move the mace? Well, what's wrong with moving a body? So the Kolbo writes that the issur is that because when you're metaltal a mace, it's meitzar es hamesim, because it's tsar to the mace, because they're afraid that the Yom HaDin has arrived when they're being moved. That we find by Shaul HaMelech, he came to the Balas Ov, and they brought up Shmuel using the magical powers of Ov, and Shmuel says, Lama hirgaztani lahalososi, why have you frightened me to bring me up? So you see from there that when you bring them up, it is frightening for the Mesim, and that's why you're not allowed to do it. Chacham Tzvi in the Tshuvan Simin Nun says that the Yisr is, because when you open up a kever, it's a nivul hames, that you're disrespecting the body by being megala the body after it's already begun to decompose, after it's already been buried. That is a nivul hames. In the Knesset Yecheskel, in Yardeus and Mem Gimel, he says when you move a mace that's already buried amongst the other mason, forget about what you're doing to this mace, that you're scaring him or you're being menaval him. It's a bizayon to the other mason that he's buried near. That what? This kever is not good enough for this guy, but everyone else is being left behind. It's good enough for everybody else. It's a bizayon to the other mason. And he says, based on what it says in Sefer Yehuda HaChassan, it's Pasuk in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Samach Gimel, that you're not supposed to bring a mace to another city when there's a beis hakfaros in that city, because the other mason are going to be misbazed, and they're going to be angry that they don't, they're not buried with, that he's not being buried with them. It's a bizayon to the other mason. Geshar Chaim suggests a fourth possibility, that the etzem tiltal ames is a bizayon, just the movement, forget about the exposure, moving a mace is a bizayon. He says, however, if even in a case where it's not going to be a bizayon, you still have to worry about the charadas hadin. If you somehow manage to avoid the bizayon, the charadas hadin is still a concern. Then Ramesha has very interesting, Ramesha in the Tshuvan and he says that forget about all that. There's a mitzvah in the Torah to bury. So anytime you remove a mace from the ground, you're being mevatel a mitzvah of burial. You're being mevatel the mitzvah of kvura. It's only temporary. Yeah, okay. So you're temporarily being mevatel a mitzvah, and that's not okay. You're not allowed to temporarily be mevatel a mitzvah, which is interesting, because what is this issur? Is this an issur d'oraisa or is this an issur d'rabbanan? The Me'iri writes it's only an issur. Rabbanan, that's how the Beis Yosef says in Shin Samach Dalet. Ramesha says, I don't understand why that would only be an Isser de Rabbanan. He says, if you accept the other Shitos, that it's a violation of being Mitzair him, Lomihir Gastani, so it, just like you're not allowed to be Mitzair a living person, it's very logical, Ramesha says, that on a Daraisa level, there would be an Isser to be Mitzair a dead person as well. Perhaps one can explain, no, the issue of being mitzar, a living person, is a typical ben adam l'chavero. Typically, we assume that ben adam l'chavero, mitzos ben adam l'chavero, don't apply to mason. Mitzos ben adam l'chavero only apply to those, to the living, not to the dead. So maybe it wouldn't be an issur min haTorah, midin, the tsar that's caused, ben adam l'chavero. But if you say like Ramesha, that it's about the mitzvah of kvura, and it's a bittul mitzvah of kvura, so that's ben adam l'makom, that's not a ben adam l'chavero per se, even though we call it a chesed Shalemes, the chesed that's also mason, not just because you're not mitzapeh l'tashlum gumul, that we call it a chesed shalemes. Okay, what if you don't find another mace within 20 amos? We said, if you found another mace within 20 amos, check another 20 amos. Eventually, you're going to keep checking, you're not going to find another mace within 20, right? At some point, it's going to end. So what do you, how far around the mason that you did find do you assume has a din of a beis hakvaros and is tameh? So this too is a machlokas. The Rimigash writes that if you don't find anything within 20 amos, so then you know that there was only one ma'ara in this area, and that's where you found these three mesim, and therefore only the shear of one ma'ara is tameh. Tiferes Yisrael in Maseches Alos says that not all Rishonim agree to this. Tosos and the Ravid hold that the entire 20 Amos are considered Tameh, even though it hasn't actually turned anything up. So do we assume that it's one Ma'ara, so whatever the Shir Ma'ara is, like we're assuming now 48 Amos, or do we assume, no, the full 20 Amos, once you found the Shechunas Kfaros, by definition that is Tofes the next 20 Amos. The Rambam in Tumas Meis Perek Tes Halach Gimel says that the 20 Amos are Tahoros, even though there is a Shechunas Kvaros. The Ravid says, well, if it's Tahor, then how can you call it a Shechunas Kvaros? Meaning, by definition, Shechunas Kvaros means it's Tameh. So the Kes Mishnah explains, when the Rambam says Shechunas Kvaros, he doesn't mean a Beis HaKvaros, he means that those 20 Amos are Shechenim LeKvaros. It's neighboring a Beis HaKvaros, but itself, those 20 Amos themselves, are in fact not Tame. Okay, Amar Mar. So we had said over here in this Mishnah, Me Arba Viad Shmona, that between 4 and 8 Amos, that's the distance you expect to find the Mason from each other, because if one is on one side of the Ma'ara, the other might be on the other side of the Ma'ara, and a Ma'ara is 4 Amos by 8 Amos. So depending whether you're going width or length, it's going to be somewhere between 4 and 8 Amos. So money. Who is the Shita in Tanaim that holds that is in fact the size of a ma'ara? I Rabbanan ha'amri dalet amos al sheish. The Rabbanan held it's 4 by 6 amos, not 4 by 8. I Rabbi Shimon, if it's Rabbi Shimon who mentioned 8 amos, ha'amar sheish al shmona. Rabbi Shimon said 6 by 8 amos. Nobody said 4 by 8 amos. Says the Gemara, Leolam Rabbi Shimon. He, it is Rabbi Shimon. There's a machlokas tanaim what Rabbi Shimon held. The high tanahu, and we're assuming like the following tana's presentation of the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. The tanya, because we have a price as follows: mitzatan ritzufin. What if you find the mason way too close to each other, one right and right next to each other, right next to the other one? That is not a normal way to find Jewish mason. Ve'in beneim midalat amos ad ches. But how does it define ritzufim? You don't find between 4 and 8 amos between them. Yesh len tfusa ve'en len shchunas kvaros, that they do have a din of a tfusa, meaning the dirt around them. When you move them, you have to remove the dirt around them, and there's no din of shchunas kvaros. You're allowed to move them because this is not a permanent kever. They're too close to each other. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehudom, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, ro'nes hem tsayim kilu einon. Well, if you were to ignore some of the bodies in between, if you could measure from one body number one, let's say, to body number five, that they're between 4 and 8 amos apart from each other, and maybe body number five to body number 9 or 10 or something, they're between 4 and 8 amos, so you're allowed to ignore the intervening bodies in order to establish a shchunas kvaros and say that is in fact a shchunas kvaros. Be that as it may, the shear, according to both of these Tanaim, is between 4 and 8 amos. Meaning, what these Tanaim are arguing about in particular is really irrelevant to our current point. We're going to come back to the point of what they're arguing about. I mean, they happen to be arguing about that they're mason way too close to each other. Can you ignore the guys in the middle? Or do you say, no, we have to pay attention to every mason, therefore, this is by definition not a shchunas kvaros. But look at how they want to define the distance of a shchunas kvaros. They define the distance, both the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon over here, define the distance as between 4 and 8 amos. Ooh, so you see that there is this sheet of Rabbi Shimon, this other presentation of Rabbi Shimon, that between 4 and 8 amos is the magic number. So that we've already found our Tana. So says Gemara, b'mayu kimtak Rabbi Shimon, what, that price is going like Rabbi Shimon? Well, ema seifa, meaning the Mishnah in Alos, we said that between 4 and 8 Amos assumes like Rabbi Shimon, and that's it conforms with Rabbi Shimon as presented in this Brisa. Yeah, but it says in the Seifa of the Mishnah in Alos, Bodeke Menula Alan Esrim Amma, that you check an additional 20 Amos. Why 20? Where does the number 20 come from? Why would you check 20 Amos? So remember how we set it up yesterday in terms of how these Ma'aros were set up. There was a Chatzer outside of the Ma'aros, and then there were either 2 Ma'aros or 4 Ma'aros off of that Chatzer. How large was that chatzer? So that chatzer was 6 by 6 amos. How large was each ma'ara? So that was our three shittos now. Is it a maximum of 8 amos? Is it a maximum of 6 amos? Right, but there is some maximum size of the length of that of each ma'ara. So when you were checking the 20 amos, we're assuming that 20 amos means you check the full length of the ma'ara that this mace is in, plus the full length of the chatzer, plus the full length of the next ma'ara. Well, wait a second. Rabbi Shimon, if you're going to do the math, according to Rabbi Shimon, that the length of a ma'ara is 8 amos, the length of the chatzer in between is 6 amos, the length of the next ma'ara is 8 amos, 8 plus 6 plus 8 is 22. We should be checking 22 amos. Rabbi Shimon asked from Vitartin Havyan, it should not be 20 amos, it should be 22 amos. What about according to the Rabbanan? According to the Rabbanan, the length of the maximum length of ma'ara is 6 amos. So what are we going to do? We're going to check 6 amos of this ma'ara, 6 amos of the chatzer, and 6 amos of the next ma'ara, 6 plus 6 plus 6, Yirabanan, Timni Shrei Havin, it's going to be 18. No one would say 20 amos. How do we come to the number 20 amos? It doesn't work at all. So says the Gemara, Li'olam Rabbanan hi. We have two ways of answering this. Number one, the Gemara says, first of all, we could say, maybe we're following the Shita of the Rabbanan, that the length is 6 amos. Ukugon to Badak Balachsona. But you're not being bodek in a straight line, you're being bodek on a diagonal. And by being bodek on the diagonal, that adds an extra 2 amos to the ma'ara. So says Gemara, yeah, but then it adds an extra 2 amos to both ma'aros that you're checking, if you're checking on a diagonal. Good, so you have this ma'ara is now not 6 amos, it's 8 amos. The chatzer in between is another 6, that's 14. And then the next ma'ara, also on an alachson, another 8 amos, that's 22. So now even the Rabbanan would say 22. So it's 22, it's not 20 amos. Where do you get 20 from? So says Mar Chad Balachson Amrinan, Trey Balachsoni Lo Amrinan. We assume that you only have to check, you're only mechuyev to check on an alachson in one of the ma'aros. You don't have to check on alachson. I mean, an alachson is a more effective way of checking, because if there's any overlap of a body anywhere, you're more likely to find it when you're checking on a diagonal. Meaning, at the end of the day, you're checking more space. So we're not going to be mechayev you to do that in both of the ma'aros, only in one of the ma'aros. And that's how you get to 20 amos. It's 8 amos ba'alachson in this ma'ara, 6 amos of the chatzer, and then 6 amos straight in the next ma'ara. So 6 plus 6 plus 8 is 20 amos. That's one explanation of where we got the idea of 20 amos. Second explanation, on top of Kuf Beis and Beis, Rav Shish, Abreid Rav Yidi Amar, Li'olam Rabbi Shimon Hi. No, really, when we say 20 amos, we're assuming like Shitas Rabbi Shimon, that the length of a ma'ara is 8 amos. If it's 8 amos, shouldn't it be 8 amos plus 8 amos of the two ma'aros plus 6 amos of the chatzer in between? Shouldn't that be 22 amos? No, v'achmei askinan b'nefili. Over here we're dealing with nefelim, and therefore it's much smaller. So the size of the ma'ara itself is not going to be 8 amos, it's only going to be 6 amos when you bury nefelim there, because they're much smaller. Just like we said yesterday, when we were trying to figure out where to fit the extra 2 on the wall that you walk into the ma'ara, where do you fit the extra 2 kvaros without them coming underneath the chatzer and being metame, whoever's standing in the chatzer? So we said, oh, they're nefelim, they're very tiny, and therefore it's not going to be metame much of an area. So we also, it's a very tiny, unfortunately, very tiny area. Umidaha b'nifli hanami b'nifli, then timni shrei avyan. Okay, but if a ma'ara where you bury fetuses is only 6 amos, so and you're assuming that this ma'ara is full of nefelim, shouldn't you assume the other ma'ara you're also checking is also full of nefelim? So shouldn't that lead you at only 18 amos? Because you have 6 amos of this ma'ara, 6 amos of the chatzer, 6 amos of the next ma'ara? Says, well, no. Chada b'nifli amrinan, tarti b'nifli lo amrinan. How many ma'aros do you think they designate for nefelim? They have one of them is for nefelim. The other one, we assume, is going to be a regular ma'ara. It's enough to have one ma'ara that's designated for nefelim. So that's why it's going to be 20 amos. Okay, so if you look at Tosos points out, how come I ask you b'nifli? Ein lefarish, Tos says, don't explain what we're doing by saying that it's nefelim, is the lochashu livdok b'ma'arashniya ela adchaf, the lochmiru kulei hai livdok rak l'ma'aras ha'nefalim, mi deparach basarachim, mi dehach b'nifli ha'nechnami b'nifli, mash medosu shemotsu mukli b'nifli. Meaning, you might have thought that you only chayiv to check for another ma'ara of nefelim, but you're not chayiv to check for another full ma'ara, and that's why you only have to check 20 amos. Not because this one that you found is nefelim, but that the next one you might only have to be choshesh that one is nefelim. Tos says that's not the pshat. No, the pshat is the one that you found is nefelim, and therefore you only have to check 20 amos because you're checking the next one to assuming that it's gedolim, assuming that it's regular people in the next one. Okay, so now all of this came in the context, this whole introduction of the idea that there is a sheet of Rabbi Shimon who holds between four, that the size of a ma'ara is 4 by 8 amos. So that sheet of Rabbi Shimon came up in the context of a machlokas when you find a bunch of bodies right next to each other. So do you assume that could actually be a shchunas kvaros, or do you assume that was quickly just trying to get rid of bodies because there was something that happened that they had to just temporarily bury people there? So now let's discuss that issue a little bit. When you find bodies right next to each other, we had a machlokas whether you can view the intervening bodies as if they're not there. Rabbi Shimon had said that Ron esam tzayim kilu einan, but the Rabbanan, the Tanakhama, said no, you have to pay attention to all of the bodies, and therefore this is not a shchunas kvaros at all. So says the Gemara, v'rami d'Rabbanan ad Rabbanan, v'rami d'Rabbi Shimon ad Rabbi Shimon. We could ask a double stira over here, because in a totally different context, having nothing to do with dead bodies, d'tnan, we have a Mishnah that appears in Maseches Klayim, in the fifth parak of Klayim, that tells us as follows. Kerem anatua al pachos me arba amos. What if you have a vineyard that's planted in such a way where it's not planted like a vineyard? It's less than the vines are less than 4 amos from each other. Meaning that there is an issue in the Torah to plant grain right next to kerem, but and that's called kilei kerem. But there's a difference between a kerem and a gefen, a single vine, with regard to this iser. So how exactly are we magdir what's a kerem? Meaning, well, what's the difference? If you plant tevua or vegetables next to gefanim, it asers the vegetables or the tevua and it asers the gefanim. How far does it have to be in order to make it okay? So if it's like if it's next to a kerem, you need to be 4 amos away. Whereas if it's next to a single gefen, it only needs to be 6 tfachim away. So how do we define what's called a kerem and what's called a gefen? Well, anything that's only being, certainly if it's just a single vine, that's not a kerem. That's only a gefen. What if it's multiple vines, but they're not planted normally? They're not planted in the way that you would plant a vineyard. Well, then we assume that you plan on uprooting them. They're not really there to stay. So that also wouldn't be a vineyard, even though it may be very many of them. So the machlokas in the mission runs as follows. Kerem anatua al pachos me'arba amos. What if you have vines that are planted bunched up right next to each other? So that's not a normal way to plant them. But if you ignore the middle ones, you would see that they are planted between vines number 1 and number 3, or between number 1 and number 4, they're at a proper distance from each other. So if you ignore numbers 2 and 3, and you look at vine number 1 and vine number 4, that's at a proper distance from each other. So do we say, oh, since some of these vines from each other are a proper distance, you could ignore the middle ones and say that this is a proper vineyard? Or do we say, no, it's all bunched up, it's not a proper vineyard? So Kerman to Alpach Smear Bamos, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Eino kerem. It's all bunched up, it's not a kerem at all. You can't ignore the middle ones. They're all bunched together, it's not a kerem. The chum is a kerem. The chum say, of course it's a kerem. Veronis and son kilu enon. You just view the middle ones as if they're not there. So kasha drabana drabana, kasha drabshimna drabshimna. It's a double stira. Because when it came to bodies that you find next to each other, it was Rabbi Shimon who said, view the middle bodies as if they're not there. And the Rabbanan said, no, you got to pay attention to every single body. They're all bunched up together. This is not a normal Beis HaKvaros. So why is it when it comes to vineyards, they flip their shittos as far as what's a normal vineyard? So says Gemara, it's not a stira at all. Each shita can be explained. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon lo kasha. It's not a stira in Rabbi Shimon. Hasam lo nati inshi adaita le akar. who plants vines with the plan of uprooting them? So obviously you didn't do that. You planted vines to keep them there, and since it was done in such an abnormal way, it's not a kerem. But hacha zimnin de misramele ben hashmashos umikri manchile. People do bury bodies without the plan of keeping them there. Sometimes they're in a rush, comes ben hashmashos, and they can't just keep the body out. They got to do something with the body, so they'll bury the body in order with the plan of removing it later. And that's why it's not considered a shchunas kvaros, just because the body is there. Drabanan nami lo kasha. Drabanan is also not a stira. Hacha kiven de menuva lo mikri kever. Over here, since it's disrespectful to bury bodies so close to each other, it can't be called a kever. Hasa meimar amar heiminayu de shaper udulo shaper lahavi litzivi. As opposed to by the vines, it could be the guy was planting a whole bunch of vines next to each other, and he was planning on seeing which ones grew nicely. Whichever ones grew nicely, he was going to keep, and whichever ones don't, meaning you're not going to bat 1,000, so some of them aren't going to grow nicely. So he figures he'll plant as many as he can in close proximity to each other, and whichever ones aren't growing nicely, he'll start ripping apart and using it as wood. So as Rosh Bam explains in the last Rosh Bam in the parak over here, klomer an tiyah shetiklot v'tatzliach tishayer, whatever is matzliach, he'll leave, v'osa shelo tatzliach ekor, v'yel eitzim l'sreifa, and whatever is not matzliach, he's going to uproot and he's going to use for wood for burning. There's a discussion in Poskim, what happens, they had a case where someone dies on Erev Pesach, and they wanted to bury him in Eretz Yisrael. He dies in Chutz La'aretz on Erev Pesach, and they want to bring the body to Eretz Yisrael to bury him in Eretz Yisrael. But since it's Erev Yom Tov, they're not going to be able to get him on a plane to Eretz Yisrael, but it's going to be 2 days in between by the time they can get him there. So can you do that? Can you put a mace in a morgue for a few days, in a refrigerator for a couple of days, to wait, or is that too much time to wait without kavura? So Rav Zilberstein said that they asked Rav Eliashiv, and he said that you can't leave him unburied for such a length of time, even when the purpose is to bring him to Eretz Yisrael, and therefore bury him on Erev Yom Tov in Chutz La'aretz. It was unbelievable. And the guy bought a kever in Eretz Yisrael, and you're going to have to do a whole Pinoy Kvaros to take him out afterwards, to move him to Eretz Yisrael. Bury him first in Chutz La'aretz. You can't leave him there. And Rav Zilberstein says, maybe there's a smach to this psak from our Gemara, because Zimnin de Mishamele Ben Hashmashos, so Mikri Manchile, the Gemara says, that Ben Hashmashos is going to come and you're going to have to put him somewhere. And the Rashbam says, Bein Shara Mesim, and the Kvarim Kisidron, and then later you'll move him when it's time to move him, because right now you had to do something with him. So you see that there is such an inyan of burying him quickly on Erev Shabbos, even if it's biderech bizayon between two other kvarim that are way too close to each other, with the plan of moving him later, and that's better than leaving him unburied. And even the Rabbanim would disagree and hold that it's since it's manuvel, it's not called a kever. That's only with a nivel gadol that it's mamish between Shnei Kvarim, but not if stam, you just bury him in Chutz La'aretz. That wouldn't be called a bizayon. Another halachic issue that Rav Zilberstein tries to relate to this to this discussion over here in our Gemara is, there is a suffix in the Ber Halacha. The Halacha is in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Lamed Gimel in Aruch Chaim, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, the ritzuos of one's tefillin have to be black. The Ber Halacha says, okay, great. What if you have ritzuos that are way longer than they need to be? And this often happens. They're black all along the whole length of the ritzuos, and then towards the end, which is way past the shear that it needs to be anyway, it's not black at the end. So does that passel the ritzuos? Do we say no? It's ki'ilu einam. Whatever is beyond the length of the ritzua is as if it's not there. Ber Halacha is mesupak about this. So Rav Zilberstein says maybe this relates a little bit to our Gemara. You have a kerem that's planted pachas me'arba amos. Rabbi Shimon says it's not a kerem, and therefore you don't have to be marchik dalar amos to plant tvua. And the Chum say it is a kerem, and you see mtsayim kilu einam. And why is it not a stira drabanan with the din of kvaros? Hasa meimar amar heiminayu de shapir udulo shapir lahavi litzivi. Because whatever, by the vineyard, whatever works, and whatever it doesn't work, whatever doesn't grow well, we use for wood. So what you see from the sugya is, only if you plan on uprooting that which is extra, do you say that that which is extra is ki'ilu, it's not there. But if the plan was to leave that which is extra, then that which is extra cannot be ignored. You don't say it's ki'ilu eino. So melu would turn out to be poshet, the suffix of the bir halacha, that the whole length of the ritzua has to be black. But he says maybe there's a difference between when the extra is right in between something versus the extra on the end. Maybe the extra on the end is ki'ilu eino, like by the ritzuos. Over here we're talking about a kerem where it's right in between. He says maybe you could bring another raya from the in Luach Eretz Yisrael. It says that if you have a lulav that's more than four tefachim, so you're allowed to cut off the extra because you don't need it. So there it's at the end. And on the other hand, he says a kazayis shel matzah on the lel seder. The poskim say if you're marba b'shir and you eat more than the shir, whatever you eat becomes part of the mitzvahs matzah. That's what the Nitziv writes in the Sagada and elsewhere, that it becomes the mitzvahs matzah. So which halacha exactly you compare it to may determine exactly what the halacha is going to be by this ritzua. But it's an interesting tushtel to connect it to our sugi. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the beginning of the seventh parak on the second of Be'ez Hashem.